On October 12, 1999, Pervez Musharraf, then head of Pakistan's army, seized power from Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif.
With all the normal institutions of political life disbanded, a television station was really the only venue left for a State of the Nation address. 2 days after imposing an emergency, Pakistan's self-appointed chief executive was ready to talk to his public. What everyone wanted to know was how, and for how long, the army intends to rule.
Turns out Musharraf's rule lasted until this week, when he resigned amid charges of corruption and threats of impeachment sparked in part by his crackdown on Pakistan's judiciary last year. Throughout his nearly 9 years in power, Musharraf forged a complicated relationship with his country's media. He was a dictator who paradoxically expanded media freedoms at the beginning of his rule, only to try unsuccessfully at the end to squelch the independent media he had helped create. But in his resignation speech on Monday, he claimed Pakistan's press freedom as one of his triumphs.
I'm also pleased to say that I'm leaving a vibrant media. I'm pleased to say that. And I hope that, with this independence, the media has functioned. With this, the media will enjoy the same level of freedom and independence.
So what is Musharraf's media legacy? The Christian Science Monitor's Shahan Mufti is based in Islamabad. Shahan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure.
Musharraf came to power in 1999 in a bloodless military coup, but a coup nonetheless, and almost immediately began expanding the opportunities for broadcast media. Was this because he had some sort of democratic tendencies, or because he was trying to create a cult of personality in the broadcast media, or some combination of the two, or some third reason altogether?
The fact is that even Musharraf's most vehement opponents admit to the fact that Pervez Musharraf in some way paved the way for a media boom. The democratic 90s, they weren't great times for the press, and journalists were being dragged out of their beds at night, and journalists were being fired from their positions for covering the wrong stories about the wrong readers. So there's little doubt, in, even within journalist circles, about what Musharraf had done. The reasons for it, though, are debated. Some people definitely thought that Pervez Musharraf was a leader for the 21st century, and he understood the importance of having his voice, his face out there. Some journalists say that he was obsessed with his own image, and he was. There's a lot of pictures of him out there fixing his hair, and he had gray wisps of hair on top of each temple.
And he even wore a different outfit depending on who the audience was.
You could never be sure what Pervez Musharraf would show up in. His choice to wear army fatigues or a suit, depending on his audience, and even depending on what political stance he was taking. So he had a good understanding, better than possibly any other Pakistani leader ever had to have, on how to deal with the image in the media.
I want to ask you about culpability. It seems to me that there was something of a deal with the devil going on here. The media, in exchange for its expanded freedoms, seemed to cultivate Musharraf's cult of personality, or at least create an environment in which a cult of personality could flourish.
Well, domestically, Musharraf was one who, like I said, he could put himself out there. So Pakistanis sitting in their living rooms would get to meet Pervez Musharraf's family. And no media outlet would say no to sitting in the president's living room, talking about his family escaping Delhi during the partition of India. I mean, really, it would be hard for any media channel to say no to that.
So in the face of the restrictions that he tried to impose under emergency rule, I guess the press became political allies of the judiciary, who had themselves been repressed by Musharraf. Was it awkward to watch this kind of advocacy journalism going on, even if it was in the name of press freedom?
It was odd. You'd see the insignias, the symbols of private television channels alongside political opposition parties on political opposition parties' posters. So you would see the face of the opposition leader like Benazir Bhutto or Nawaz Sharif. And next to them, you'd see these insignias of private news channels. One of them, actually, the Geo Television, that insignia, which was a blue, orange, and white one, became almost a badge of resistance to Musharraf, because that was one channel that suffered the most when Musharraf cracked down on the media.
So has the press begun any kind of self-examination into what extent they had been facilitators or enablers in his dictatorship?
I don't think that the press is at that point yet. There's still a lot of patting on the back and celebration. What the press is doing, though, is there's public service messages on some of these channels which are trying to frame a new sort of paradigm for themselves, in which they're saying that just because we may have helped the opposition parties, or, well, the government now, to get rid of Pervez Musharraf and eject him from the political scene, it does not mean that we have any alliances.
Shahan, there's one interesting footnote to this story, and that is Musharraf's own resignation speech, in which he credited himself for opening up the media. Was there any acknowledgement at all of the irony of that, that, you know, he had created this Frankenstein's monster which ultimately helped destroy him?
Towards the end of his rule, he obviously recognized what the media was doing. But he used that as a defense to show that he was, at the end of it, a Democrat at heart. He always said that he had created the media, which was hostile to him, yet he still tolerated them. He had helped create this monster that took him down in the end. One of the last things he said after he had announced his resignation, he talked about how he hoped that the media that he had helped create would continue.
Well, Shahan, once again, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure, Bob.
Shahan Mufti is a correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor based in Islamabad. He spoke to us from Lahore.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.